Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. A warm word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered out. And it is our prayer, as always, that we will know the presence and the blessing of Almighty God upon us as we're here in his house this evening. Those that are online as well, let me extend to you a very warm welcome in the Saviour's name. Wherever you're tuning in and joining us from, may you know the Lord's speaking voice even to your heart tonight as we come around the Word of God. Let me go through the announcements as briefly as I can. And this time of the year, certainly they are reduced in size. And we do remind you of our midweek prayer meeting on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. and our time of Bible study as well. And we're continuing our series in the book of 1 Peter. And we're coming to that second part this week of the directions for the believer as we make our way through the polluted world. So do, young and old, make that effort to come and to study God's word with us and to come around the throne of grace on a Wednesday evening. Then on Friday night, we remind you again of the ordination and installation of Mr. Glenn Mulkison to the gospel ministry there in Londonderry, Free Presbyterian Church, at 8 p.m. As we mentioned this morning, unfortunately, due to the current restrictions, it is an invite-only service, but it is on their YouTube page, which is Londonderry FPC, and they are planning to stream it live. I said this morning, transmit, and I couldn't remember the word stream or broadcast or anything like that. And Alex told me, she says, well, I was mouthing it to you, but of course I can't lip read someone that's wearing a mask. You can't really see what's being said. And so the word is stream. It just shows I'm starting to get a bit older. The brain's not working as well as it used to, but God willing, they are streaming the service this Friday night at 8 p.m. And if you'd like to tune in and join in to that service, then we do encourage you to go to their YouTube channel. But if, as well, let me just encourage you to pray for them and pray for our brother as he takes up that ministry, that the Lord will bless him and use him there in the Maiden City. We remind you then of the services next Sunday. The services 11:30 and 7 p.m. and the times of prayer before both services in the minor hall in the morning and then again here in the main hall at the evening time. And God willing, I'll be along to preach at both of those services. We continue to remember, and we encourage you to remember, the Fosters in your prayers. As we mentioned, it was encouraging to hear that prayers have been answered already. And we do pray for that full recovery for both Andy and indeed Hannah from this period of illness. And so can keep them before the throne of grace and pray that the Lord will be near to them and touch them at this time. 555 is our opening item of praise and our opening hymn this evening. The hymn 555, When Israel Out of Bondage Came, a sea before them lay, the Lord reached down his mighty hand and he rolled the sea away. 555, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Committed to mentioning the announcements, but our church in Portadown is starting a drive-in gospel mission this evening, and it's going on for the next 10 days, so do as well remember that. The speaker for the gospel campaign is the Reverend Thomas Martin, and let's even be remembering in the days ahead the Portadown congregation and our brother Martin in your prayers that the Lord will bless even that time of gospel mission. So let's go to prayer now. And each and every one, let us be uniting together around the throne of grace and coming even this evening. Our Father, who art in heaven, it is our earnest desire this night afresh as we come to thy house, that thy name will be hallowed. It is our earnest desire, O God, this night that as we are gathered together, that this will be a season of worship that is acceptable before thee. We do pray, O God, for each one of thy children that is here. We do pray for clean hands and for pure hearts. We do pray, O God, that we might ascend into the hill of God, that we might stand in the holy place this evening. We pray that as we come into the courts, that we will come in with praise, that we will enter through the gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do pray, O God, that this will be a blessed time in thy house. We acknowledge afresh this night that we have so much to thank thee and so much to praise thee for. And, O Father, we do pray this night that thou wilt cleanse us afresh, that thou wilt fill us afresh, that thou wilt settle our minds and our hearts upon thee and upon the things of God. That thou, O God, will come and give us that Spirit of God amongst us and upon us. Lord, that this will be a special time in thy house once again. We thank thee for the open door. We thank thee, O God, this night that we can come with thy precious word in our hands. Lord, that we can open up the book and we can even glean from the pages of Scripture again. Oh, what a blessing it is to have the living word. What a blessing it is this night to have thy precious word. Lord, we do rejoice in it. Lord, we thank thee that we can read it both privately and indeed publicly. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast shown to us everything, Lord, that we need to know even in regards to salvation. Thou hast shown us who thou art. Thou art the great God of heaven and of earth. Thou art the creator of all things. Thou art the sustainer of all things. Thou art the God of sovereign will. Thou art the God of providence. We thank and praise thee that thou art the God of redemption. Lord, we rejoice this night that thou hast shown us clearly from thy word that salvation is of the Lord. We thank thee this night that thou hast shown us, O God, the great scourge of sin. Thou hast shown us how we came to be sinners. Thou hast shown us the end for the sinner. We considered it, O God, even this morning. Lord, what a fearful day it is. What a fearful thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God, to be outside of Christ, to be separated from the grace of God, to be cast into the lake of fire forever. Oh, Father, we do pray that we think especially even of family members. We think of the community. We think of neighbors around about us. Lord, to think that there are those within our communities or within our families, Lord, it could be separated from God forever. Oh, Lord, it's there in thy word. It's so clear to us. But Lord, we do pray that thou wilt lift the scales off the eyes of the ungodly. That thou wilt show them clearly, O God, and give them that understanding. And open up their hearts. We think of this passage in Acts 16 that we've been looking at. God, and how the Lord opened the heart of Lydia. Oh, that thou wilt open up the hearts of men and of women and boys and girls in this area. Lord, that thou wilt open up the hearts of family members. That thou wilt grant household salvation. Oh, Lord, bless, we pray thee. Bless every family. Oh, God, we commit them afresh into thy hands. We pray that thou wilt undertake for every need. Thou knowest the physical needs amongst our congregation at this time. Thou knowest the health needs. Lord, we just ask thee that if it be thy will, that thou wilt touch. That thou wilt raise to strength once again. We pray for those that are waiting, O God, for appointments, for procedures, O Lord. For that medical intervention, we just ask that thou wilt rule and overrule. That thou wilt work all things out for thine honour and for thy glory within their lives. But, O God, grant them that grace even now. Remember those, O Lord, as well, that need thee spiritually. Thou knowest those that are going through times of trial, times of hardship, times of great burden upon them. O Lord, we pray that thy nearness will be to each one of them, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt undertake for them, that thou wilt help them. Lord, remember each one this night. Remember our elderly. We think of those unable to join with us anymore. Lord, be near to them. We thank thee for our elderly that are still able to come out. Lord, we rejoice in this and their faithfulness, O Lord. And we just pray that thou would continue to bless them and to encourage them. Remember every family. Remember every individual, O God. Remember each one, we pray. O Lord, we bring afresh to thee our land this night. Lord, how much it needs the move of God. Lord, we've looked even over these last weeks and even indeed over this last week. We've seen, O God, a decline in our land. We've seen men and women, O God, that are going about as blind men and women. Lord, the whole thing is a mess. And we think of those words in Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. O God, we need our land healed. Lord, we need thee. This land can't be fixed or can't be cured without thee. O God, we pray for a revival from heaven. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to descend. We pray for men of God to be raised up with spiritual boldness, filled with the Spirit, men that take their stand with the Word of God and take their stand upon the Word of God. O grant us such, we pray thee. Grant power in pulpits. O give us fearless preachers once again. Give us men of God throughout our land, unashamed, O God, of the gospel, heralded it forth. Lord, work and move, we pray thee. Lord, bless us this night. Bless us in this house as we continue our studies in the book of Acts. O God, grant us that help from on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to read together from the book of Acts once again in the chapter 16. In the book of Acts in the chapter 16. We'll commence again this Sunday evening at the verse 16. Acts 16 in the verse number 16. The Word of God says, "It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Amen. And we pray that the Lord will once again bless the reading of his infallible truth to our hearts. The hymn 314 we'll sing together before we come to the preaching part of the meeting. The hymn 314, "My happy soul rejoices, the sky is bright above. I'll join the heavenly voices and sing redeeming love. 314, we'll stand again as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Have our Bibles open again this evening, please. I encourage you as always to keep them open throughout our preaching this evening. Book of Acts in the chapter 16. We come, as I said, this evening to consider the second part of the message that we began last week, the devil's interest in the church. The devil's interest in the church. Let's have a moment's prayer, please, before we come to consider this passage. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the truth of what we've just been singing. We do rejoice, O God, this night that there is power in Jesus' blood. We thank thee for that precious blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. We thank thee for the shedding of that blood. We acknowledge without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness of sins. And so, God, even as we come to this passage now, accept of our thanks for the cross of Jesus Christ. Accept of our thanks for the sacrifice of the Savior. And Lord, we do pray that even this night that we will glorify our Savior, that we will uplift Christ, even through the preaching of thy word. Give us help, we pray. Give grace to each one to receive thy word. Work in every heart. Apply the word as it needs to be applied, O God. Fill us with thy spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we return again this evening to continue to look at the events which led to the imprisonment of Paul and Silas in a jail there in Philippi. As we began to look at the last time, we mentioned and highlighted the fact that the devil has no desire and no intention of leaving any gospel preaching church or community alone. Regardless of size, regardless even of a single individual, there is no desire of the devil He wishes to disrupt and to disarm and do harm and disservice indeed to each and every child of God. Last time we considered the wishes of the devil, those wishes for the church of Christ and how he works to hinder even the gathering together of God's people. And if he fails to keep us from coming to this house, then he'll work at harming the worship of God's people as they gather together. He seeks to attack the spirit within them. William Burkett, he said, wherever God has his church, the devil will be sure to set up his chapel. It's not a chapel of ease for the saints, but a chapel of service for himself. So wherever the church of God is, wherever the people of Christ are gathered, you can always guarantee the devil will never be far away. Tonight we come back to consider more of the devil's interest in the church. How he seeks to hinder and to harm both the individual Christian and the church as a whole. Now I believe these verses, in particular the verses in 17 and 18, and the verse 16 as we primaried on it last week, I believe these verses are very telling and very revealing as to the way which the devil works against the people of God. I want you to see not only his wishes, but then secondly this evening, I want you to see the devil's words. The devil's words. Verse 17, it tells us that this woman, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." What you have here is this woman under the authority and under the control of the devil, seeking to align herself with Paul and the others. And you highlight, and I highlight to you the words, and you can see them for yourself. The words that this woman is using, she is willing to use biblical language. She is willing to take the things of God and to use them for her own advantage. She comes with these words and she speaks there, and she speaks of the Most High God. These are words that are found within Scripture. If you look in the Old Testament, the Most High God, that terminology is used in Psalm 78, the verse 35. That title is also used by Daniel in Daniel 5 and the verse 18. We see here the woman, she's also willing to speak of the way of salvation. She says it herself at the end of it, they show unto us the way of salvation. She is willing to use such biblical language. What a subtle and a very dangerous attack by the devil this was. Now, it's very easy to fall into that trap of believing, oh, this was very good. This was a very positive step. But I want you to see this was a very dangerous, a very subtle attack by the devil. What you have here is a very bold and a very brazen attempt by the devil to sow a deadly tare amongst the wheat. Now, it is clear that what she is saying is perfectly and completely true. God is the Most High God. We don't deny that. Paul and Silas were the servants of God. We don't deny that. They were in the business of presenting the way of salvation through the preaching of the gospel. We don't deny that. So everything that she has said, all of those words that are recorded for us, they are factually and they are biblically and they are spiritually correct. So then why would Paul seek to stop this woman from speaking? Why would Paul seek to stop this free support, this free advertising of their missionary endeavors? Remember, this was a small community that was there at that time. It was just Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, and then the woman that gathered at the riverside. That was it. It was a very small little gathering of people. So why would Paul not want to have advertising? Why would Paul not want to have this exclamation, this exhortation, even by this woman for them? This was a woman of fame and popularity in the city of Philippi. We read of how this woman had brought much money. It tells us there in verse 16, she had brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She was a fortune teller. Verse 16, when it speaks of a spirit of divination, if you have a Bible with a margin in it, you will see it also states the spirit of Python. In Greek mythology, Python was a snake, which was connected with fortune telling. And what had happened in Philippi was this woman now was up to the status of a celebrity. She was so well known, she had made so much money. She had been used by her masters in such a way that everywhere she went, people were flocking to her, people were coming to her, and she was making much money, much gain for her masters. So often she was there as that spirit of divination upon her, speaking for Python, telling the future for the individuals. And yet, for this first occasion, suddenly she's not using the familiar words that she always did. Suddenly she's speaking so differently. Her message, her words are more biblical, they're holier words. And yet Paul will not accept her or her words as it currently stands. My, when you think of it, the doors of possibility she could have opened. You think of how much she could have had and how much she could have done for Paul in terms of the human aspect. She could have brought him an entire new audience. This woman that was so well known throughout the city of Philippi, she could have brought him into contact with thousands. Her proclaiming and coming through the streets, preaching and proclaiming about Paul and about Silas, she could have brought him such an audience. He wouldn't have had to go outside the city walls down to a riverside. He could have had the city square. He could have had the biggest platform within Philippi. He could have had all of that support, all of that gain, and yet he refused it all. He didn't want her support. He didn't want her help. You know, when I think of this woman, I think of what she had done with her life up until this point, what she was involved in, and then what she says here. I think of the words that are found in Isaiah 29 and 13. This people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me. You know, there are so many Christians today, and I look at this passage and I think of what we have in 2021. I think of those that are going through this land and indeed through the nation as a whole. And those that have swept across America. I think of men and of women who come out saying the right words. And I see many Christians running after such people. I hear Christians today, and whenever a celebrity mentions God, or mentions anything and even minutely to do with the Bible, and Christians get so excited. Why did you hear about that celebrity? Did you see what they said? Did you remember what they have here, there, and everywhere? Just because they quoted maybe a phrase or a verse from the Bible. There are Christians today who will go and stand with such people. Sadly, there are churches who will invite such individuals into their pulpits to speak. If someone even loosely says something about the gospel or something, says something loosely about the word of God, and immediately a church, because they see the potential, this is a celebrity, this is someone that people listen to, this is someone that's popular, will get them, will bring them, and they're opening up doors, even bringing them into their pulpits. All because they said one thing agreeable. And yet their hearts are far from God. Surely if you look at our nation, even over the last number of generations, over the last century or so, you look at the damage that has been done to our nation when Christians give a platform to the ungodly. So many churches today that have called unrepentant sinners to be their under-shepherds. Others who facilitate individuals in speaking to their people. Yet in reality what they're doing is they're bringing in wolves dressed as sheep. I've said this before and I still believe it. One of the greatest causes, the greatest factors in our nation being in the mess that it's in is because men and women are standing in pulpits never preaching about sin, never preaching the gospel. I think of those words of Paul, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." And men and women are going and sitting in churches today and they're never told of their need of sin. They're never told of their need to have sins forgiven. They're never told of their need of salvation. They're told they're fine as they are. And so we have a nation getting more and more dark and sinful. And brethren and sisters, I've mentioned this before and I do so again. Be careful who you stand with. Be careful who you join yourself to. Be careful who you give place to. I exhort you to learn from Paul. He refused to have the joining together of a servant of God with the servant of the devil. Yes, the words, you could say, the speech of both were in agreement. They were both saying the same kind of things. And yet he refused to have anything to do with her. I think of those words that are found in 2 Corinthians in the chapter 6. Verse 14 down to the end. It says there in the word of God, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Not to join ourselves with those that are ungodly. But the argument can come back. Well, she's not saying anything wrong. We can't find any fault in what her words are. We can't find any problem. Why then would we just distance ourselves? Why would we separate ourselves? What harm is it if she's quoting Scripture? What harm is it if she's speaking truth? The harm is found in the fact that the devil's behind her. The father of lies, the devil, can even speak truth and can even speak the word of truth when it suits him. The devil can take and he knows the word of God. Never, never misunderstand that. The devil knows the Scriptures. He will take it and he uses it as he sees fit to promote his own ideology. We think of that time in the book of Genesis. The opening passage there in Genesis 2. Those words are given in verse 16 and 17. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And that verse there in Genesis 2 and 17, whenever he says thou shalt surely die, the Lord speaking, then comes a full stop. It's final. And then you come to Genesis 3. And the verse 1, the devil changes it. He'll bring his own question mark. Because he says in the verse number 1, it says, "The devil, he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" Question mark. The devil's willing to take away the full stop, to take away the finality of God's word, to take away the solidness of God's word, and to bring in the seeds of doubt, to bring in the questions. Yes, he's willing to quote it, but then he'll twist it, he'll turn it, he'll use it for his own purposes. I I think as well of the temptation of my Savior. You know, there in the book of Matthew, whenever the Lord is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness for those 40 days of temptation, we're only given that brief entrance in at the end of the temptation. We're given the three examples of what the devil was doing. You realize that the devil quotes the scriptures to Christ in temptation. Matthew 4, and it tells us there in the verse 5 and 6. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him in the pinnacle of the temple, and he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. There's the devil, and he's coming to tempt Christ, and he's willing to quote the scriptures, because there in that verse, the devil's quoting Psalm 91, the verses 11 and 12. The devil knows the word of God. The devil's willing to use it. And yet here was Christ, even in his temptation, and Christ refused to agree with the devil. Christ refused to accept the devil's words. Donald MacLeod, he said, if Satan dared to use the scripture for the temptation of our Lord, he will surely use it for the delusion of man. You know, it's interesting. It's important to take note of the words of the Lord at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. It says, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And then the verse 16 there in Matthew 7, the Lord says, Ye shall know them by their fruits. You know the fruits of the Spirit that are recorded and listed for us in Galatians 5, in verses 22 and 23. The fruits of the Spirit, there's love, there's joy, there's peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You notice what's not on that list? Words. Words. The fruits of the Spirit, you shall know them by their fruits. The fruits of the Spirit, not one of those fruits is actually what comes out of your mouth. It's not the words that you say. That's not one of the fruits. You always say actions speak louder than words. This woman, as she stood before Paul every day, was using the right words. But there was no fruit of the Spirit in her. There was no love, there was no joy, there was no peace, there was no long-suffering, there was no gentleness, there was no goodness, there was no faith, there was no meekness, there was no temperance. There was just words. And as I said, the devil has no problem using words. Using scripture, using a little bit of the truth, and then mixing it with lies. My individuals come and they go and individuals say, Oh, I'm speaking for Christ. I'm speaking for God. And yet it's only words of the devil. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 and 14. It says, For such are false apostles, and deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Is it any wonder, child of God, that we are to be vigilant? We are to be sober. We are to watch. We are to pray. We can be caught and we can be trapped in so easily with just the words of an individual. And yet there's not one fruit of the Spirit within them, but they can say words. We need to be vigilant. We need to be sober. We need to watch. We need to pray. devil's interest in the church is such, he will use whatever words he has to, just to hinder, to harm the work of God. I want you to see, thirdly and finally, not only the words, not only the wishes, but the verse 18, I want you to see the weakness of the devil. The weakness of the devil. Tells us Paul, being grieved, he turned. He said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Yes, the devil has an interest in the church. Yes, the devil's interest and his wish is to hinder and to harm the church. Yes, the devil will use words to attack the church. He's willing to mix that little bit of truth with lies. Yes, he has a great enemy. But he has a great weakness. He cannot and he will not ever defeat the king and the head of the church. And you look at the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the devil has power, and yes, it's great power, but it is a power which cannot prevail against Christ. His power, we cannot prevail against ourselves. If we stand ourselves against the devil will overcome us. We are not strong enough mentally, physically, whatever way you want to look at it. We in and of ourselves cannot stand against the devil. But the devil cannot stand against Christ. The devil can never stand and defeat the Son of God. The devil's power is finite. There is a limit to it. Our Savior's power is infinite. Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. My, you can go through the history right from the book of Genesis onwards. The devil's never won. You know, when the devil was created, one of the angels in heaven, there came that time when he sought to overthrow heaven. The pride of the devil, he wanted himself elevated to the place even of the Son of God, to have that audience, to have that authority, to have all of that love and that admiration of all. He wanted all of the praise for himself. And it tells us there, whenever he went to overthrow heaven and that battle within heaven, what happened? He failed. Revelation 12, the verses 7 to 9, it speaks of the battle in heaven between the devil with the fallen angels against Michael and the heavenly host. It tells us the devil's cast out. You have as well in the little book of little epistle of Jude, the verse 9, it speaks of Michael again contending against the devil over the body of Moses. That war is raging again, Michael against the devil, and Michael is victorious. Why? Because he cries, "The Lord rebuke thee." We think as well before that, in the Garden of Eden. My, the devil, he believed he had destroyed the relationship. He had destroyed the union between God and man. Devil believed, oh, I've tricked Eve into it, and Adam has now fallen willingly. He sinned, and all of that, their union, that fellowship, walking with the Lord, it's all broken, it's all destroyed. I've just destroyed the relationship between God, the Creator, and the jewel in God's creation, mankind. Because remember, man was created in the image of God. There's no other part of creation was created in the image of God. Man was the jewel of God's creation. The devil came. And having beguiled a woman and Adam sinning knowingly, and yet there, instead of the devil winning, what was revealed even that had been planned for all eternity past, the Father just presents to them the covenant of grace. It's highlighted there in Genesis 3. The covenant that was agreed in eternity past is first revealed to Adam. That promise is there in black and white. Devil, you don't win. Devil, you can't win. Yes, you may bruise his heel, but the coming of the Son of God will ultimately crush you. You think throughout the Old Testament of how the devil constantly tried to destroy the royal bloodline to Christ. You think of the King Saul. There was that desire within Saul as David was raised up. David slew Goliath and then he's brought in. And that jealousy that filled Saul. He heard the people saying, David have slayed his 10,000, Saul have slain his thousands. And he couldn't understand. It just filled him with such envy and such hatred. And he turned all of his forces. He forgot about all of his enemies. And he just put all of his focus, all of his armies, all of his attention into what? Killing David. Why? Because the Son of God was to come through the Davidic bloodline, the generations of David. Even throughout all the Old Testament, the devil was constantly still trying to destroy Christ. You think as well of when Christ was born, how Herod then he sought to kill every child under two. Why? To destroy Christ. You think of all of the temptations, both in the wilderness and indeed throughout all of his ministry and throughout all of the life of Christ. The devil never ceased. The 40 days of temptation was not all of the temptations that Christ ever endured. The devil came again and again and again. He became more and more vicious. He threw everything he had against Christ. Why? To try to make him to sin. You think of those who sought to kill Christ before his hour had come, before the cross came into view. You think of those that even as that hatred was burning in them, and then they turned around and they said, no, we'll not kill him because this is the time of Passover. We're not going to do it. But God's word was clear. It had to be the Passover lamb being shed. And so what happened then? The Lord allowed Judas to be taken. And to betray Christ at that time. Why? So that Christ would die at the Passover time in accordance with the Word of God. You think of Christ upon the cross. The end of the suffering. The end of the hours of darkness. What did Christ cry? Finished. Tetelestai. Devil, you've lost. Christ could say it with confidence, knowing that he had suffered the retribution for our sins, knowing that he had purchased the redemption for his people. And Christ was able to cry with that authority, he was able to cry with that confidence, Tetelestai, it's finished. You're defeated. And so the Lord Jesus has given his people eternal life, so that neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand. Oh, yes, the devil has an interest in you. Yes, the devil has a desire to destroy you. My friend, when you're in the hand of Christ, you have his protection. The devil's weak against you because he cannot take you and pluck you out of the hand of God. That's the devil's weakness. That's why Paul turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I command thee. My name. or in the name of the apostles, or in the name of this missionary group. He said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ is a victor. Isn't that what's testified of in Revelation 12? After they had cast the devil out. Revelation 12 in the verses 10 and 11. Tells us that in verse 9, just to go back, it says the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The weakness of the devil is the strength of the church. For the weakness of the devil is the sovereign of the church. The weakness of the devil is the sovereign of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren and sisters, may we never forget it. We have no power of protection outside of Christ. We have no power of protection outside of our Savior and the Spirit which he has sent forth. Yes, the devil is interested in us. He's interested in this work in Six Mile Cross. He's interested in your service for the Lord, whatever it is that you do for the Lord, whatever it is that you're able to do. Whether it be the work of prayer for this church, whether it be the work of inviting, whether it be the work of encouragement, whatever the case may be for each individual, whatever you're doing for the Lord, the devil is interested in it. The devil is seeking to harm it, to hinder it, to destroy it. He has a desire to sift us as wheat. But Christ stands for us. Christ prays for us. My, what a Savior we have. The Apostle Paul, he was able there in that verse, and at that time he was able just to simply say, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Couldn't stand, couldn't stay inside that woman. That evil spirit had to come out. Of course, we see in the verses that follow that wasn't the end. The devil just didn't simply pack up and move on. Because then whenever this woman was now in her right mind, whenever her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, this woman was cleansed of that devil. This woman was now in her right mind. She was saved. And the devil just used then her masters. He used their anger. He used their bitterness. He used their greed for money. And so they came then and they caught Paul and Silas. They drew them into the marketplace. And they told lies against them. You can see it there in the verse 20. It says, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. What trouble did they cause? They spent every day either in Lydia's house or going outside the city walls to the place of worship, to the riverside. They hadn't came and done any harm to anyone. The devil just moved his attack to a different source and kept attacking. But of course, as we're going to see, even though Paul and Silas were arrested and taken off the streets, even though they were cast into prison with those stripes being laid upon them, it was all in the providence and the will of God, because there they came into contact with the Philippian jailer. God used their imprisonment to build his church even further. Child of God, the devil's real. His attacks are real. His hatred of you is real. His hatred of this church is real. Thank God for his weakness. Thank God for our Savior. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We're saved and we're kept by the power of God. What a Savior. What a salvation. Oh, child of God, be encouraged this night. Yes, the wicked are on every side. But our God's in control. If you're here and you're not saved, you're still the slave, the servant of the devil. My friend, see from this passage tonight, the devil will never win. All the devil can accomplish is whatever in his finite power is capable of. Yes, he'll hinder, he'll harm, he'll try his best to stop you from coming to Christ. But I plead with you. See the majesty, see the beauty, see the sacrifice, the love of God for you. Flee from the devil. Come to Christ. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee and praise thee, God, this night for our Savior. I want to thank thee and praise thee that he is the Lamb of God. I want to thank and praise thee that the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world is the Lamb of God that has defeated the devil. We acknowledge that we are against a great foe. But we praise thee that our Savior is greater still. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. Encourage us in these days, O Lord. Keep our confidence in Christ. Keep our eyes fixed upon him. That, Lord, even as we go about our daily business, even as we go about in our lives and Lord, all of the attacks and the trials that come our way, may we ever keep our eyes fixed upon the author and the finisher of our faith. Separate us now with thy blessing upon us. Take us to our homes in safety. Be with us each and every day. In Jesus' name. Amen.